All right, young people, you're dismissed to go to your classes. Just follow her. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Titus. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. Probably a familiar text to a lot of people. We'll just begin reading in verse 1. We'll read a few verses here. Titus chapter 1. And verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. Boy, that is a great thing. A little later in this same book of the Bible, it talks about looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Boy, that's a blessing. We could stop anywhere in this and just pick something out and talk about it for a long time. Verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. That's where I come in, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Paul writes to Titus. Let's bow our heads in that word of prayer. Father, we're so pleased to be here today. We're so thankful that we're able to experience your grace and your mercy in our lives. Thank you for the hope you've given us of our eternal future. Thank you, Father, that anywhere in this Bible we turn and read, it's the truth. Thy word is true. Bless us now as we open it and hear it, read it, hide it in our heart. May we bring honor and glory to you, and may you comfort everyone here for Jesus' sake. And in his name we pray, amen. Great verses in the Bible. And in hope of eternal life, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for he's the strength of your countenance. And there's so many verses about hope. Our hope is like an anchor, amen. And it's something that will hold us and keep us. January is right around the corner. It's the beginning month of the new year, and it's the time that we make resolutions and we do all that kind of stuff. I think we talked about that a little bit. I'm not making a resolution this year. I don't know if I've ever kept one. Amen? That maybe for a little while. In Lamentations, Jeremiah is writing about the mercies of God. And in chapter 3, he says, the mercies of God, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The beginning of the day. Here's a new day. We wake up. New mercy. Amen. It says about our Lord rising up a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So the Bible teaches first thing in the morning, talk to God. Amen. Just have some time with the Lord. And it's daytime, nighttime, all of the different times, but the morning is just such a wonderful thing. In Genesis chapter 8, the flood is over, at least the waters are going down. And in verse 5 of chapter 8, the Bible says, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. That was the beginning, the first day of that month. It meant a lot to the people that were on the ark, because now the waters are going away and God's going to bless them. And he has certainly taken care of them. Yeah, the beginning of a day, beginning of a month, and then in Exodus chapter 12, they're going to have the Passover. The lamb is going to be slain. The blood is going to be put on the door. And when I pass over, I will see the blood and no death will come to that household. And you know the story of the Passover. In the New Testament, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. But anyway, what I want to read is in verse 2 of chapter 12, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. They changed the whole calendar. They made the Passover time the beginning of the year, and they honored it by doing that, and that's where everybody gets their life. We are creatures of time. It was time to start the service at 9:30. I did pretty good, amen? And you're thinking, well, is he going to be preaching a long time or a short time? And there's a divided congregation on that, amen? Lynn brought some pumpkin cheesecake today, and I said, you know what that is, Lynn? She said, what? I said, that's a short sermon. That's what that is. And so we think about our retreats and our fellowship time. And our fellowship time is a wonderful time together, but we are creatures of time. Psalm 90, verse 10. There's so many verses. The days of our year are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So we get 70 years, maybe we get 80 years, maybe 90 years. We've got some that are approaching 100. Man, that is amazing, isn't it? Think of the wisdom and the experience of those folks, especially the people that love the Lord. James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, just a little time, and then vanisheth away. Remember when you were in high school? Well, you're probably pretty close to that. But I mean, us that are across whatever that line is, and all of a sudden, you know, all those years go flying by. A little time, it seems like. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to love, a time to war, a time for peace. I mean, it goes through it all. And we're creatures of time. We have in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And we see that happening in our world. We take the scripture and we can line up the scripture with what's going on in the world, and we know that these are perilous times. All kinds of statements fall on tough times. It's time to shovel snow. Amen. It's time to see the doctor, the dentist. Boy, don't you hate the dentist? I mean, and I don't mean that. Well, maybe I do mean that, especially when they hit a nerve. But anyway, time to pay taxes. These wonderful times coming up for us, you know. Time to get up, time to sleep. Deuteronomy 28:67. I know I'm putting a lot of weight on this introduction. You'll see why. But Deuteronomy 28, in the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. Man, I wish the day was over. Man, I wish a new day would start. And you just don't know day to day. And our time is spent. Time to repent, time to get right with God, time to get saved. Amen. It's always the right time to be saved. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Nothing to wait on. Just make sure you're saved. Time to be born, time to die. We're appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. So all of these things in time. Even when we get to the book of Revelation and you go to that 7-year tribulation period, and when you see in chapter 20, the 1,000-year reign, but there's a time coming where there will be no more time. How do you even say that? There's a time coming where there will be no more time. In Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6, swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and all things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Time no longer. God is an eternal being. We are creatures of time right now. But one day, we're going to live eternally with God. And that's what we want to look at. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Everlasting life, everlasting contempt. Remember in Luke chapter 18, and the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. There was a time of death, but that was for eternity, just like heaven is for eternity. And so we make a decision in this life where we're going to spend eternity. Amen? And if we receive Christ as our Savior, heaven is our home. And I'm going to kind of describe some things about heaven today. The believer's death opens to him a door to an eternal heavenly existence, which is amazing. And the Bible will show this. We'll use a number of verses. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, and I say rather, willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We're confident that's going to take place, and we're willing for that to take place. Heaven's going to be better than this. Amen? And sometimes we hold on so tightly to some things that we don't get to enjoy the future. And we'll see that again as we go through the scripture. What does that mean? for all eternity, we have eternal life. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In this life, if we had hope in this life only, we would be most miserable, of all men, most miserable. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the resurrection chapter, and it tells us some things. We will look at that in a moment. I hope you brought your Bible today. It's good to read it while I'm speaking it. It kind of sticks a little better. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Revelation 14. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Those are powerful statements. They're really powerful statements. But we all want to live longer. Amen? And it's because of how we think. And that's true. I want to live as long as I can live. I don't know if I'll reach 100, maybe 99, you know. That's a joke, a little joke there. But, you know, everybody, you know, you want to go to the doctor so you can feel better. And you want to take care of the problem so you can live longer. But there's coming a day, and I'm getting ahead of myself, that what we feel about eternity now is not going to be what we feel about eternity later. Because we have a new nature and an old nature. We are partakers of the divine nature, but in the book of Galatians it says, the flesh fights the spirit and the spirit fights the flesh. There's a battle going on. And to have all of the sin removed in a place called heaven, you won't even think the wrong thing. And I'm going to bring all of that out today in just the next 3 hours. Amen? To die is gain. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And you believe the Bible. That's why you're here in this church. You're a Bible believer. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God said it. That settles it, even if you don't believe it. But look with me at 1 Thessalonians 4. And let's begin reading in verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or who have died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There are people that are in the grave. Their soul is in heaven, and they're going to receive a new body one day. And this next couple verses is really great. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But this is 1 Thessalonians. There's 5 chapters here. This is just a portion of Scripture. If you could read the whole thing and get the whole context and see what Paul is talking about here. One day, the Word of God comforts us. It's telling us about our future and our future in eternity, which will be a blessing for sure. This year could be the year. Amen. That the Lord comes. This month could be the month. This week could be the week. This day could be the day. This hour could be the hour. I mean, he's coming soon. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, he's with Mary and Martha, and Lazarus had been in the grave. And he says to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's going to be a resurrection. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The raptures are going to take place. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll be given new bodies. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air with to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what it says. Amen. So we're going to be changed too. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll just read a few verses there. Is your old body wearing out? You know, it does. It does. I was looking at something the other day about exercise for this and an exercise for that. And then when you do those exercises, you have a problem with something else, and so you do an exercise for that. You know, and the bodies are wearing out. I remember I got glasses when I turned 40. And I remember going to church, and everybody made fun of them. Oh, you got glasses now. Yeah, I can't see a lot without glasses. Amen? Yeah, some of you, your hearing is worn out. And, you know, it comes and goes, right? And just all of that. But one day we're going to have a new body. And all these scriptures are telling us that. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. And let's begin reading here. Let me see. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It just won't work. God has to do a miracle. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Very similar to 1 Thessalonians, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's the mystery. That's the work of God. That's the miracle. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. That's the work of God. Amen. And he does that for the believer. In 1 John chapter 3, and verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So that day is coming, but we're going to be like him. And now we get into the meat of the message. Might be short, it might be long. I preach until God tells me to stop. Amen. So if I'm a little longer than a half an hour or 45 minutes, you have to take that up with God. Amen. And maybe it's a short sermon, maybe it's a long sermon. I've got to get that pumpkin cheesecake out of my mind because it has a way of shortening the sermon. Revelation 21:27. This is our future. And I think you ought to think about it because it's the hope of eternal life. It's called the blessed hope. Either to cast down, why are you cast down? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him because he's the help and health of my countenance. All of the Bible verses on hope. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Ah, this is a tough life. It makes you look more to eternity. Amen? Because eternity is going to be absolutely wonderful. And so I will read the verse, Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. No sin in heaven. There's not going to be any corruption in heaven. This corruptible must put on incorruption. That's the inability to be corrupted. It says, we shall be like him. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. There's a number of verses in the Bible that talk about our sin being put away. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. East, west, they don't meet. Amen. They just keep going. You have Micah 7, 9. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. But this is the verse I like. Hebrews 10, 17. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. No more. What sins are you talking about? He says. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And we are going to be like him. You know, we've got a lot of regrets. You know, boy, I wish I would have done this, or why did I do that? I hurt this person hurt me. And when you concentrate on that, you can really ruin your day. Amen. I mean, it can absolutely ruin your spirit. When we get to heaven, we're not even going to think about those things, because he puts them from memory. We shall be like him. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And you can quote those first three verses. We shall be like him. 1 Corinthians 13, 3. Again, it talks about no more sin. Revelation 21, 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When you got saved, it was a miracle because you're born of the Spirit of God. It's God that saves a person, and all the things that are involved in that. Again, born of the Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's a spiritual birth, and that is all the work of God. We have a divine nature. I mentioned that before, but we have the old nature. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we're admonished now because we have the Spirit in us, but it's a battle going on. You can always tell who's winning the battle, the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. You can find out because they're fighting each other. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, temperance, all of those things. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, which the believer is commanded to do, or to be filled with the Spirit, is to be filled with those things. And that comes out of our life. Amen? And we affect other people, but we certainly do enjoy what God is doing in our life. Revelation 5, 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So we come to church and we sing and we do all of these things. We want to worship God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. True worship. True worship. Think of when we get to heaven. Compare fighting the flesh, bitter, angry, proud, all of the things that the works of the flesh are, and they get worse than that, as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. If we could live in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of that, amen, that would be a blessing. But we ride the roller coaster. Some days we're very holy, amen. We do the right thing, we listen to the Lord, we're a blessing to other people, and then there's other days they come. And then we regret the other days, and sometimes they build and they go. What is it going to be like in heaven? We're going to worship God. He is worthy. We won't care how long the sermon is. Amen. We won't care if there's 10 songs that we sing and sing all the verses, because we sing in the Spirit. Amen. But we worship God in the Spirit. You know, I don't think in heaven you're going to fall asleep. Right? We're in the presence of the Lord, you know, and we're nodding off. Now, hear me out, amen. I'm not rebuking anybody, but maybe you had a long night. Maybe you are ill. Maybe you're on medication. Maybe whatever the maybe is, and you fall asleep. We will not judge you. We're just going to call your name in the middle of the service. I was in a Bible class when I went to Bible college, and one of the fellows fell asleep. and we were terrible. None of us should be preaching. None of us. But he fell asleep in the middle of the class, and the teacher, Dr. Fair, was given the lesson, and we bumped him. I didn't do it, or did I? But somebody bumped him and said, he wants you to pray. And he jumped right up and started praying, man. Right in the middle of class. So don't go to sleep, amen. But I mean, we are to worship God. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to have any sin. There's no sin. It'll all be directed, worthy as the Lamb that was slain, amen. And then you have singing in the Spirit, true singing. Have you ever sung a song in church and you don't even remember what you're singing? You know, you're just going through the words and, you know, I mean, we've all done that. Here's another thought that comes on our mind. Yeah, we're having roast chicken after the service. You know, God is so good, you know, and we've done that. When we sing in heaven, it's going to be a blessing because there's no sin attached to it. There's no works of the flesh. No more sin. Pray in the Spirit. These are all portions of Scripture. Pray in the Spirit. Did we pray yet today? We're to pray without ceasing. Amen. We're to commune with God all the time, but to pray in the Spirit. Sometimes when you're praying with other people and they're praying, your mind is a million miles away. It won't be like that in heaven. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. No more sin. True godliness. It won't be a form. Amen. It won't be for other people to see. It'll all be directed at the Lord. We are to fellowship one with another. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Doesn't the Bible say that? Amen? There's all kinds of fellowship in the Bible. Well, I'm not. If I go to heaven and he's there, I'm not going to enjoy heaven if he's there or if she's there. I was doing a funeral one time, and there were two other preachers, all three of us that were doing it, and we were talking, and we said, you know, we have a little difference here and a little difference there, and God will work it all out when we get to heaven. And they said, God doesn't have to work anything out when we get to heaven. You'll know even as you know. Amen? All of these different things that we go through in this life that steal our joy, amen, that cause us all kinds of problems in life, they're because of sin. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. Fullness of joy. Forevermore. Never a bad day. Never I wish it was evening. Never I wish it was morning. Never I wish I didn't have to listen to that or do that or be that. I'm glad you got that new job, but I mean, things that we go through in this life that aren't good, God can use those for his glory. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Wonderful testimony, even in a bad place. Amen. All of the different things we can do for the Lord, we won't have to do any of that in heaven. We won't even have to think about it because the mind of Christ will be our mind. We will think like he thinks. Remember David? David in the Bible sinned and he committed adultery. He had Uriah killed. He hid the sin for a year, just all kinds of, and he was a good man. But he had really fallen into sin. Take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was the man after God's own heart. David was a wonderful, wonderful Christian and served the Lord. But when kings go forth to battle, David tarried at Jerusalem. That's where he got in trouble because he went out on the roof and he lusted after a woman. When kings go forth to battle, he was a king, he should have been in the battle. That was his downfall. One time, one place, one temptation, one sin that caused all that problem. And this is what happened because of sin. Look at Psalm 32. When I kept silence, verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. What a blessing. Look at Psalm 38. Psalm 38. Psalm 38, verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, thy hand presseth me sore. This is David. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. I feel it in my bones, right? Cut to the bone. All of those expressions about the inward person. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. Look down at verse 18. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin, because sin is such a terrible thing. I don't think we'll turn there, but keep Psalm 51 in mind. And David comes to God and he says, I acknowledge my transgression against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight. And then he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Restore the joy of my salvation. Sin steals the joy of God. Sin steals the peace of God. And in heaven, there's not going to be any sin. Think of that. No sin. Absolutely no sin. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And so he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And he was restored. You have Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. And he took his inheritance. He wasted it on riotous living. He was convicted about it. He's in a hog pen. And when he came to himself, he said, my father has bread enough and to spare. I'm going home and I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. And he did that. And guess what? They had a party. They made merry. He restored him, not as a servant, but as a son. That's a picture of what God will do for us when we forsake our sin, when we're sorry for our sin. Amen? And all the illustrations. You have John chapter 20. This is about doubting Thomas. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I will not believe. And so then he saw the Lord and he proved that Jesus was alive. And he said, my Lord and my God. And he was restored just by that faith. Joseph's brothers, same thing. They wanted to kill Joseph because of envy. Envy is a terrible sin. Terrible sin. And they were going to kill him, but they didn't do that. And they sold him into slavery. But down the road, they were convicted in their heart. The guilt of that followed them all those years, a lot of years, of lying to their father and breaking his heart and all that was done there. But you meant it for evil, God meant it for good, and God used Joseph to forgive them and to keep the family all put together and all alive. And the joy was restored to them because of that. Sin is a terrible, terrible thing. Think about our emotions in heaven. Are you always happy? Are you always kind? Are you always paying attention? our minds really affect our emotions, don't they? As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you can think of negative things. Some people you don't say, hey, how you doing? You don't want to do that. You could be there a long time, amen? And not that we don't pray one for another, we need to do that. But are you always happy? Do you always have peace? Does anybody worry? Do you fret? Do you have tears? Is your heart broken over this situation? Is your expectation met in this circumstance? And we could go on and on and on, and we walk out those doors, and even when we're in here, life seems sometimes to fall apart. And it does so right in our brain. Emotions. Expression. You ever hit your finger with a hammer? Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. I mean, there's all kind of expressions. And we talk to one another and we're getting irritated with somebody. And the flesh is saying, let him have it. And God's saying, and God is saying, no, kind words. Your gentleness has made me great. Amen? And we don't listen to God. We listen to our flesh. All these things, how we express ourselves. I know a lot of songs because I was saved when I was 22, and I got saved, oh, back in early 70s. So you know all the songs that were there. I knew them all. I mean, that was my life. It was drugs, motorcycle, songs, you know, going to concerts and do that. I still can't get them out of my brain. Sometimes I'll start singing a song, and God always does this with me. And he takes me right, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. I mean, I do it that quick, because that song is really a crummy song. Amen? You don't know anything about that, do you? Okay, well, you don't get me. Anyway, but that, how about our memories? You have all good memories? Anything you did wrong that you wish you wouldn't have done, said, been? Amen? You can see them. You can experience them again, and it's time to repent of that, amen. But in heaven, you won't have any memory of that. Isn't that going to be a blessing? I think it's going to be great. How about rewards? We're going to cast our crowns at his feet. Whatever we have done in this life that is rewarded is going to be given back to him, because he's the one that gave us the strength to do it, amen. So we cast our crowns at his feet. In this life, sometimes it's like the monkey, where he put his hand in the jar to get the cookie, and he wouldn't let go of the cookie, so he wouldn't be free. We got our hands in the cookie jar. You know the story? But when we get to heaven, it's all his. It's, well, I need it down here because I got to live. Yeah, and we live pretty good, don't we? We live pretty good. But there's things to do for the Lord, too. Amen? That's another blessing. Our complete transformation. Our faith becomes sight. How about this one? Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love your neighbors, yourself. How about this one? Love your enemies. And you put all of that in there, and you want the love of God to be manifest through your life. But sometimes, like the church at Ephesus, they left their first love. Sometimes, like Demas, he loved his present world and is departed. And the love of the world sometimes supersedes the love of God. All things that are talked about in the last days, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, think of that. Because there's pleasures of sin for a season. Again, it comes back to the sin. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's in this life. That's in this life. Sometimes we look at the wrong thing. Hebrews 11:10. Abraham, he looked for a city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's in this life. He didn't attain to it. Luke 12:34. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 1 Peter 2:11. We're strangers and pilgrims in this life. And it seems like everything, not everything, but many, many times the things of this life grab us. Amen. And they take us away from what we're supposed to do for the Lord. And I think that's an important thing. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that wonderful? When we go to heaven, however we get there, the rapture or death, there's not any sin there. There's no regrets there. It's all going to be wonderful. I want to read something that Billy Graham said. Even when we allow our imaginations to run wild on the joys of heaven, we find that our minds are incapable of conceiving what it will be like. We can't conceive what it'll be like. And so sometimes it brings worry. Sometimes it brings, I can't do this. None of us really can. And I'm going to close with this. Turn to Romans chapter 7. It's a portion of scripture we read just a little bit ago. Romans chapter 7. And look with me at verse 15. You ever do something and you really don't want to do it, but the flesh wants to do it? I mean, you know it's not going to be good for the Lord, or your testimony or whatever. There's a way you can be a blessing to the Lord, but you don't choose that. That is a common thing. We are all sinners, all of us. And that sin steals our joy. Your sin has separated between you and your God. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And there's coming a time when there's not any more sin. The sin is going to be gone. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I find not, for the good that I would I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Second time. Find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And he answers it, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And so let the Spirit lead you, control you, fill you. Amen. But there's times a just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. And thank God that there's a mercy seat. Thank God there's a throne of grace, because we're just saved sinners if you've accepted Christ. We're just saved sinners. Nobody's better than the next one. Amen. We comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. Well, that person is proud, and what are you? And what are we? Thank God for his mercy. And thank God that one day we're going to be in a place where there is no sin. I can't even imagine it. That's what Billy Graham says. You can't even imagine what it's going to be like. To sing with all your heart, to love God with all your heart. Who understands it? I don't, but I believe it. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Who shall deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ. He's worthy. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our service. He's worthy of our lives. And one day, we'll be with him for all eternity. That's what the Bible teaches us. Father, thank you for the precious scripture, and thank you for our precious Savior. May he mean so much to us. And when we get cold, may we be the first to admit that maybe there's sin in our life. We so want to love you and serve you. Bless our church, our people, some with many trials and tribulations. Give them the grace and strength. And may we all look forward to that wonderful day when there's not going to be any more sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's